Hi there, thanks for joining us on The Sweet Spot. It's the Racing Post's weekly golf show with Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer, the man with the Midas Touch. Four winners in the last 5 weeks, the latest one being 33-1 shot Cam Smith in the Players' Championship. Brilliant tipping, Steve. Well done, my friend. Are you feeling cock-a-hoop or slightly the worse for wear this morning?
Oh, a bit of both. Yeah, cock-a-hoop. But I think everyone needed a few tinctures to get through that one. I mean, it was a very stressful finish, wasn't it?
It certainly was. People going about a five-day Cheltenham Festival. There's a big debate raging about that. But the five-day Players' Championship certainly takes that out of you, doesn't it?
It does, because you can't count your chickens until they hatch on that course, can you? I mean, and foolishly, I started counting some chickens after the birdie at 17. And then realised how foolish that was because taking driver off 18 was such a bold play, wasn't it? It reminded me a bit of John Daly 1991 crooked stick USPGA. You know, he had a lead that going up the last there and he just went, "You gotta let the big dog eat." And he took the big dog. I was like, "What is going on? Why has the driver come out?" And then obviously bailed outright. And then, he got too good a connection with the second shot. He didn't expect it to come out that well out of the pine straw there and in the water. And then, I mean, the fourth shot's the shot of the tournament for me. Mm. How on earth he managed to retain his composure in that scenario? He must have known Lahiri birdie behind him there. So he's got to get up and down to win.
I mean,
at that point, I'm thinking, Smith,
did you retain your composure at that point? I don't suppose did you?
It was absolutely bonkers because he holds the birdie putt on 17, having pushed the shot massively. I had no intention of going anywhere near that pin. Gets away with that, makes the birdie. And then the celebration starts. Like, you know, I'm getting all sorts of WhatsApps and it's, premature celebrations and then just complete silence after the second shot at 18. And just so relieved in the end. But I prefer winning with a bit of excitement than winning.
Do you?
I do.
A procession any day, mate.
I realised that last night because in 2018, you remember we backed Webb Simpson for this very tournament. Mm. 2018, Webb Simpson, runaway winner at a massive prize. That was good fun. I'm not going to deny it. But I think last night I enjoyed it more. Bouncing around the room. And, you know, such a top bloke to cheer for, isn't it? Regardless of finances. You've got to love Cam Smith, haven't you?
I don't really know much about him. Except he's got a haircut I wouldn't particularly go for myself. But apart from that, I don't really know much about him. Is he a good fella?
Just so level-headed. So level-headed and down to earth. And one of these guys that, you know, the money's not going to change him. Yeah, he won $3.6 million last night. They asked him what he's going to spend it on. He has no idea. You know, a bit of fishing tackle is probably all he needs. You know, he's yeah, you've got to love Cam Smith. I am. Yeah, he's got a similar moustache colour to me. I didn't have time to get it, but maybe for next week I'll just have a moustache.
Yeah, you can maybe cultivate a mullet as well, couldn't you, in tribute to him?
They're quite hard to get, aren't they? Yeah, I might try and cultivate a mullet. But
what do you mean get? You don't buy them, you grow them.
Yeah, but they're quite hard to grow. My hair grows up rather than
mine
down.
Mine does as well. I'm Marge Simpson. I could never cultivate a mullet. But anyway, that was great because you had four tips, Steve. Obviously, you did have five, but Matsuyama pulled out. And I will just reiterate that. If you did back Matsuyama, obviously, you get your money back. The rule is quite simple in golf. If your player withdraws before he's played his first shot on the Thursday, you get your money back. If he tees off on the Thursday or in the first round, whenever that is, and then pulls out, you lose your money. But thankfully, you got your money back on him. And the other three were all in contention as well. It was a fascinating week, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. We got lucky with the draw. I mean, we were worried about the draw. We were worried about that beforehand.
The weather was so bad, it worked in your favour, didn't it? And all your tips who were in the same half of the draw played in the more benign conditions on Sunday, didn't they? Yeah.
Well, avoiding those Saturday wins. I mean, those Saturday wins destroyed many a scorecard and our boys had to play hardly anything in that. So, yeah, we thank the Lord for that. And we thank Cam Smith. And we're on a roll going into Cheltenham week. I'm not going to, I won't be investing in Cheltenham. I'm sure you will.
There's you won't back a single horsey, no?
I doubt it. Okay. I mean, I'm so pleased for, the YouTube guys put the comments in there because a lot of them feel like they've paid for their Cheltenham week already
now. Yeah, that was nice, wasn't it? That was nice. Yeah, thank you for all your lovely comments and messages to Steve. Great to hear that some of you have got a nice few quid out of it. That's great news. That's what it's all about, isn't it, eh?
Yeah, they can go into Cheltenham knowing that, you know, that they've already paid for the week. Some people are saying that's a nice feeling, isn't it? Mm. Whatever happens in their festival, They're gonna be okay at the end of it. I won't be playing. Is Unsinkable Boxer still in training?
No, he's not, mate.
That's the only horse.
I think you need to learn a new horse. You can't keep quoting Unsinkable Boxer, Steve.
My favourite horse. If that's not running, I won't be getting involved.
No, they don't have races for 23-year-olds, unfortunately. So no, he won't be running. But I'm sure it'll be a great week. And like I say, fantastic if you've had your betting funds paid for by Cam Smith and Steve. So marvellous stuff. What else should we reflect on as far as the Players' Championship goes? I mean, it's just an absorbing event, wasn't it? I mean, Lahiri, I think he was 1,000-1 beforehand. It was a fantastic effort by him. He held it together really well. And goodness me, would the bookmakers not have loved him to have won it?
Yeah, really impressive. Really impressive. The drive at the last, I mean, the way he conducted himself in the final round was fantastic. I mean, he was doing those stretching exercises he was doing. What was he doing? Yoga. Yoga, is that what they call it?
Was he? I don't know. I must admit, there was a slightly annoying clash because obviously Palace were playing last night. So I watched that valiant 0-0 draw, but it meant I didn't actually see every last bit of the golf.
He was doing some stretching. He had a very impressive pair of trousers on, like Rupert the Bear style trousers.
Yes, I saw them. Very, very nice.
Very bold dress, you know, colourful jumpers. You know, he really sort of made a statement there and then and held it together well. Yeah. I was more worried about other players, I must admit. But yeah, he was my main concern in the end.
What a changeable leaderboard as well, Steve. I mean, you know, you had so many players got in contention and got out. And then, I mean, when I got back from football and looked, I was like, Keegan Bradley, where's he come from? And Kisner and all these people. It was extraordinary, wasn't it? And big Johnny Rahm imploded. He had a 9 early on in his final round, didn't he? It was just all happening, wasn't it?
Oh, everything was happening. Yeah, big Johnny Rahm. We're a bit concerned about him for the Masters now because he's got some issues now. But Shane Lowry, you know, I don't want to grumble about anything. I'm not going to grumble about anything. But a bogey at the last from Shane Lowry dropped him out of the each way places. But he had a memorable week, didn't he? I mean, probably the highlight of the tournament. The Lowry ace was so joyous, wasn't it? It meant so much to him bouncing around there. And he's aced. His two aces have come at the 16th at Augusta. And that one at Sorbus. So two PGA Tour aces.
The iconic holes. And that wasn't the only winner you tipped last week, by the way, Cam Smith, because you also said recently that Daniel Berger is a plonker. And boy, did he prove it. Have you seen the vid of that disputed drop? I mean, Victor Hovland goes up in my estimations further. I mean, he soared, him and Joel Damon, but particularly Hovland. Just to explain, if you didn't see it, and you should check it out on social media, you can find clips on Twitter very easily. Basically, it was at the 16th. Berger's hit his second shot. It's curved into the water, and he's taken an audacious drop miles further up than where it should have been. Oh, you joined the Le Creuset Club, have you? Right, you posh mug. And anyway, he tried to take the drop miles further up than he should have done. And Hovland wasn't having it. And he's like, no, it's further back. It's miles further back. And then this simpering official came along and said, well, you know, I mean, to be fair to me, he wasn't simpering. He just said, like, I didn't see it, so I can't help you. But Hovland stood his ground and he said afterwards he did it for the good of the game and the good of the field. He said, it's not a nice conversation to have, but you've got to do it for what you think's right. And Berger was like, this is a bad drop. I'll do it for you guys, but it's a bad drop. I've never taken a bad drop in my life. You are a revolting human, Daniel Berger. I hope you don't win another tournament in your entire career, my friend.
Absolutely, yeah. And he didn't do it for them. They compromised in the end. They went half and half and half. Yeah. You know, you got two players in the group saying you've got a drop here and he's not having it. They compromised. You know, it couldn't go on forever. Hovland and Damon.
It's taking prize money out of other players' pockets, isn't it? That's the whole point there. If he'd made... Just if he'd escaped with a bogey on the back of that, he's taken money out of some poor guy who might need it. You know, it's just totally wrong.
Hovland is a fine young man. Oh, I mean, Hovland's up there as world's greatest human for me. You know, I mean, you know, now Michael van Gerwen's lost his form a bit. I think he's replaced van Gerwen as the world's greatest human. He's a fine young man. He knew it was a tough situation, but he had to do it. And, he, you know, Berger's attitude was disgusting.
Awful.
He is an arrogant so-and-so, that Berger.
Yeah, that was appalling, that. Hopefully he won't be tasting victory for a while. And hopefully Victor Hovland will the karma police will do him a good turn and he'll win soon. So is that a wrap on the Players' Championship?
He'd be world number one soon. We've said it before. I tell you, it's only a matter of time before Hovland becomes world number one. Maybe in a month or so.
Okay. Are we all done with players?
We're all done with players.
Should we have a little touch upon the My Golf Life Open, which Pablo Larrazabal won at 33-1? He won a playoff with Adrian Ause and Jordan Smith. Sixth win of Larrathabel's career. So that just shows that, you know, in certain situations, he's a proven, trusted winner. And that's worth a lot if you're betting him play on golf. The guys who can prove that they can get it done. Same with Ashen Wu last week, Steve. Five wins for him as well. It's important, that, I think, because you've actually got... You can get yourself in position, but you've got to actually convert, haven't you? Was there anything else we learned from last week in South Africa?
Well, I think you need to work on your pronunciation a little bit there. Obviously, we know you refer to it. But I mean, he's a great putter as well, isn't he? So yeah, he's a proven winner and a great putter. I mean, yeah, he handled the finish well. I mean, we jumped on the Adrianus train before the final round at 9-2. So yeah, we did. Yeah, we tipped Adrianus at 9-2. Golf Wise Extra, and he bogeyed the first playoff hole, and then Jordan Smith bogeyed the second playoff hole, and then Larrathabel won. I mean, that was his second win in South Africa. So he won the Alfred Dunhill in 2019. So he seems to like his trip to South Africa. We could have got him, but we mustn't beat ourselves up. Marcus Armitage finished 11th, was the best of our crop. So yeah, disappointing. My Golf Life Open, similar event to tackle this week, actually.
Okay, well, we will start with the Valspar Championship, which is the latest Florida tournament. They're at Copperhead. And if we take a look at the prices, you'll see there's still lots of good players in contention, despite what must be a fairly strong urge to take a week off. Justin Thomas is fav at 9-1. Morikawa, 11. Victor Hovland, 11. Go on, Victor. 14-1, Dustin Johnson and Xander Schauffele. See, Xander Schauffele is becoming a bit of a who. 20, Louis Oosthuizen, and 22, we've got the likes of Casey and someone who's writing, Burns. I couldn't read my own scribbling. Lowry and Hatton, and it's 25-1 bar. Steve, first of all, is there half a chance that some of the players quoted and indeed elsewhere in the field might still sack it off, or would you expect them to dust themselves down, pop up the coast and do battle once again?
I have been monitoring it all morning, and there's been no early action. I think Wackham Neiman is a potential non-runner, but all the others are still in as things stand. I don't think so.
I mean, it's
a very short journey, isn't it, Bruce? It's a very short journey. A lot of them live in Florida anyway. So, no, I don't think this market's going to be decimated. We've got it all under control. I was up with the lark this morning. I've had lots of ibuprofen, and I'm oozing confidence, I must be honest.
Oh, good. I should think you are after four wins in 5 weeks. Right, then tell us a little bit about the course, and then we'll get your selections.
We're at Copperhead, Innisbrook Resort, Palm Harbor, Florida. 7,340 yards, par 71, but don't be fooled. Four par fives, five par threes. Hosting for the 21st time, tough, tight, tree-lined venue. The last three holes are known as the Snake Pit. Can give you a very nasty bite. They're very, very difficult closing holes. The honours board shows how important it is to keep the ball in play. KJ Choi has won twice at Copperhead. Retief Goosen, Jim Furyk, Kevin Streelman, John Zenden. Accurate plodders.
Steady eddies, yeah.
Steady eddies. Eddie Newton's accurate plodders can win at this track. We've got some pre-tournament storms, but don't worry, it's not going to be like Sawgrass.
Sunny,
calm conditions for the competition days.
Lovely. That's good to hear. How many selections have we got, Steve?
Three selections.
Oh, just the three. Right then, lead on without further ado. Who are you putting most faith in this week?
Colin Morikawa. Lots of doubts, as you've alluded to, on the state of the players that are arriving from Sawgrass. Long, grueling week competing for mega bucks. Yeah, with that amount of money on the table, you give 100% to the line there. Justin Thomas, Victor Hovland, Dustin Johnson, Louis Oosthuizen, Paul Casey, Sam Burns, Tyrrell Hatton, all still competing at Sawgrass on Monday, all heading to the Valspar as things stand. I think a lot of players will struggle with that quick turnaround. Five of the last seven Valspars, the best 72-hole total, has been 10 under par or worse. You know, this is not a picnic. This is another grind on the Florida swing. We've had PGA National, Bay Hill, Sawgrass, all been extremely tough assignments. And now we're concluding at Copperhead with another one. I think energy levels, the ability to fully concentrate for another 72 holes is very important this week. And I think Morikawa of the market leaders stands out as the man for the job. Got his schedule absolutely spot on. He was on the wrong side of the draw last week. his hat was getting blown off on the Saturday. He took his hat off playing. You know, we saw a lot more hair last week, didn't we? It's quite nice to see.
I suppose we did, yeah.
Yeah, on that Saturday, I really enjoyed it because, you know, Brooks Koepka had his silly blonde highlights. You saw some good haircuts. But the point is, Morikawa is on the wrong side of the draw and very unlucky. No disgrace in missing the cut by a couple of shots. Won't have dented his confidence. He beat Patrick Cantlay. He beat Jordan Spieth. He beat Xander Schauffele. He beat Brooks Koepka. Loads of big names were struggling. And you could see in the pre-tournament media conference at Sawgrass how much self-belief Morikawa is carrying at the moment. He explained to the media that he's just turning up at golf tournaments to play golf now. He doesn't need to go to the range. His game's in perfect condition. It was a real eye-opener. And he was a bit sluggish at the start of the year. He had COVID just after Christmas. Practice routine suffered. But he returned to his peak at Riviera. He was a fast-finishing runner-up in the Genesis Invitational. He's coming to his Valspar debut with his A game. I'm not surprised he's added it to his schedule. The course sets up perfectly. It's a test of precision. Those five par fives we mentioned, Morikawa is 10th in the par three scoring average statistics. You know, his iron play on par threes is obviously, you know, the best in the game.
He's a deluxe Steady Eddie, isn't he? That's the thing. He's fairways and greens, isn't he? Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, he's the best Steady Eddie. And he's already won a PGA Tour event in Florida, won the WGC at the Concession. And motivation, you might get... Sorry, I got one last thing to say. Very confident. He's still chasing that world number one status. And John Rahm, talk about showing signs of frailty at the top of the rankings there. You know, John Rahm counted a 9 at a par 4 on... You know, he finished 55th last week. Major season round the corner. I think Morikawa... You know, he's got this blood in his nostrils there. He wants that world number one rank, and it can come. It could come on Sunday.
Blimey. Fee, fi, fo, fum. I smell the blood of Big Johnny Rum.
Very good. Yeah.
Colin Morikawa, you make a very compelling case. For who are your other two tips?
Next best. Colin Morikawa, best price at 11-1 at the moment, with only two firms out. We record this at 10 a.m.
Shop around them.
Yeah, 11-1 best. We might get a bit better. Next best, Matthew Fitzpatrick, 33-1 with two firms in the market. Another one who was unlucky with the draw last week. Battled hard, pair of 74s. Finished on the same score as Morikawa. But a miscut at Sawgrass enhances his chances of Valspar success, in my opinion. Morikawa and Fitzpatrick both have a great style of play for the Copperhead course. Fitzpatrick missed the cut on his debut there in 2018. That's his only Valspar start. Don't worry about it. He was in poor form around that time. That's just a useful sighter in my eyes. Expect him much better on his return. Because prior to Sawgrass, which is easy to forgive, his form figures this year, 6-10-9. All PGA Tour events. He's been threatening a PGA Tour breakthrough for ages now. The Valspar, great opportunity. And I've got lots of icing to put on this cake. Right? That's like the bulk of the cake there. I've got three squirts of icing to put on this cake. You know what I mean by that, don't you?
They're not,
a top-class caddy is one piece of icing. So you put that first piece on it. You're not just backing Matt Fitzpatrick. You're backing the Fitzpatrick-Billy Foster combination. You know, surely these two will find a way of winning together on the PGA Tour soon. The next squirt... Fitzpatrick lives in Florida now. He had a brief dalliance with Atlanta. He settled in Florida, North Palm Beach. So he's nice.
Smith, obviously, last week.
Yeah. Ponte Vedra Beach. He gets to look at the Aussie flag now for a year. Did you see the ceremony afterwards?
No, I didn't see the winner's flag.
The winner's flag goes up. Brilliant. So he can almost see that from his flipping house. Yeah, what a... I love Cam Smith. So Fitzpatrick lives in North Palm Beach. So he's had the chance to get nicely rested between Sawgrass and Copperhead. And the final squirt... of this icing on this delicious cake, so delicious that it could have been crafted by the chef, is that Fitzpatrick's brother, Alex Fitzpatrick, is playing this week.
He's playing.
He got a sponsor's exemption for winning a college event that's sponsored by Valspar.
Blimey.
He gets in. So surely having his little brother with him this week will provide that little extra inspiration, you know, sibling rivalry, banter.
They wouldn't pair them together, would they? I don't suppose.
They might do, mightn't they? But I don't know. But I just think that's just an added spur. I mean, it'd be good fun for Fitzy, wouldn't it? You know, there he is worrying about winning his first PGA Tour event. He's got his little brother to sort of guide through this event a little bit more. It might help him. I don't know. But I just think there's a lot of icing on a very, very strong cake there.
That's amazing, that cake. I might have a slice. And who's the third tip?
Final one, 66-1, Christian Bezuidenhout, who didn't qualify for the Players' Championship, narrowly missed out. He was on the alternates list. He can take out that frustration on the Valspar, fresh for the Valspar fight, quickly shown an affection for the Florida swing. He's had three top 20s in three visits to Bay Hill. First round 64 in the expunged, abandoned 2020.
An expunged cake.
65. He was in second place before it was expunged in 2020 Players' Championship. He loves Florida. Copperhead should be another Florida layout that suits him. He's accurate, sharp, short game. He's going to grind his way in contention. He's a three-time European Tour champion. He's having a solid 22 campaign on the PGA Tour. So, yeah, Mr. Bezuidenhout will go well as well.
Absolutely buzzing, aren't you, Steve?
Yeah, I am buzzing. There's no getting away from it. As Paul Gascoigne said to Graham Taylor, must have been something I ate. I'm buzzing, boss. It must have been something I ate.
Superb. Justin Thomas and Victor Hovland and DJ and Schofield are the other market principals. Have you got any strong feelings for or against any of those?
I think Schofield is the best of them. Yeah, I'd say Schofield is the danger because, yeah.
I was slightly dismissive when I read the prices simply because he just doesn't seem to contend much these days. What's happening?
Yeah, I mean, last week he was in the wrong side of the draw, miscut. I mean, he's fresh and this course suits him. Yeah, he's playing all right this year. Yeah, Schofield, he just got that mental hurdle to get over. It's a long victory drought now on the PGA Tour. But if I was having four, I would go for Xander Schofield.
Okay. Right, well, so we've just got the three. We'll reiterate the tips at the end. Don't worry about that. And don't forget, as we always say, let us know in the comments who you fancy as well. Right, then let's move on to the DP World Tour event. It takes place in South Africa on the northern fringes of Johannesburg. It's the Stain City Championship. I'll spin through the market principles and then Steve can tell us all about it. So we've got Dean Burmester and Adrie Arnoux, our joint favourites at 16s. Jordan Smith, 18. Gorgeous George Coetzee is 20. Lara Athabal is 22. Marcus Armitage, 25. Harding, 28. 30 bar. So virtually identical field to last week. Slightly different layout, I think, this week, Steve, isn't it? Would you expect it to be vastly different or similar kind of story, do you think?
Well, it's certainly got a fantastic name, isn't it? First of all, we have to give it some plaudits for the name. I mean, we liked the course name last week, didn't we? Peckhamwood, but the actual tournament name is a bit wishy-washy. This is the Stain City Championship, which I really like. Yeah, but pretty much every room that my son goes in can be nicknamed the Stain City because he only needs a few seconds in a room to stain it from top to bottom. So I give him credit for the name. But it is a place, yes, Stain City. The club at Stain City is the official name of this course. 7,716 yards, par 72, four par fives. Very similar to last week. Jack Nicklaus design. We've got another Jack Nicklaus design, wide fairways. And this time, even softer than last week. Lots of rain forecast for Wednesday and Thursday. No wind expected. Colder air this week. Quite cold air by South African standards. So I think it's a powerhouse's paradise. We've only got one piece of course form to go on. 2018 Stain City Team Championship, a pairs event, 48 team pairs event, three rounds.
Okay. Did anyone who's in this go well in that? Or are you about to tell us all about that as you tell us your selections?
I can tell you whatever you like, but what I will tell you is that Henny Duplessis, who went very well for three rounds last week, was leading going into the final round. He won that Stain City Team Championship. With a partner, I can't quite remember who it was. But yeah, so keep an eye on Henny Duplessis.
Oh, okay. All right, then. I will. How many selections have we got, Steve?
We've only got three in this as well. Yeah. We're sort of trying to make it a bit harder for us this week because it's too bloody easy.
Fair enough.
Pride comes before.
You can always tell us who that's a very good point, isn't it? I always say that punters is most vulnerable when they've just backed some winners. But you can always tell us who your fourth would have been, and if people want to include that, they can. But we're only having three official selections, aren't we?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, Xander Schofield, very close to selection in the Valspar, and there's one man that was very close selection in this. So there's two potential players that could break my heart and bring me crashing back down to earth.
Okay, right. Well, let's hope that doesn't happen. Let's hope the good run continues. And if it does, it will be because who has won the tournament?
It'll be because gorgeous George Coetzee has won the golf tournament. He's our number one selection. I know this is a big week for horse racing fans, and my I'm going to tap into my very, very limited knowledge of horse racing. There's another horse, I believe. It was called Gorgeous George Washington.
There was George Washington, you're right, yeah.
George Washington.
So, yeah, he wasn't actually called Gorgeous George, but it was called George Washington, yes.
And then nicknamed Gorgeous George. Was that a good horse? It was a big horse.
Very good, yeah. Aidan O'Brien, yeah. Yeah,
big burly animal. And we've got another big burly animal here called Gorgeous George Coetzee. Yeah, who for me is like a bit of a, I love Cam Smith, but I love George Coetzee. He's like a people's champion. He's a very carefree character, mercurial talent, really enjoys himself off the course. He's bang into his football, big Liverpool FC fan. You know, he goes to as many games as he can. He's bang into his surf and he's always out in the waves. But he's a brilliant golfer a bit when he sort of knuckles down. He's got natural power, fantastic putting ability. I mean, the best thing about last week with Cam Smith is such a good putter, isn't he? He's such a good putter. So much fun when you're on a player that's a great putter. And he's just hoovering it up on the greens. And George Coetzee is like that as well. So I'm hopeful we're going to have a similar type of fun this week. He's won 5 times on the European Tour. 4 of them have been in Africa. 3 of them have been in South Africa. He's hugely comfortable in this sort of event for obvious reasons. He skipped the Kenya Open, so he's probably in perfect condition for Stein City. He finished 9th in the Ras Al Khaimah Classic, then took a month off. Returned last week at Pecanwood. Closed with a 64 for 4th place. I think Coetzee is as likely a winner as anyone in the field. And this is where I will get to the man who could break her heart. You know, Dean Burmester, I give huge respect to, you know, very close to tipping him again.
He's the potential heartbreaker, is he?
Yeah. I see Coetzee and Burmester having an equal chance this week. And Coetzee is a slightly bigger price, so I'm going with him. But I respect Burmester.
Okay. Right then, George Coetzee is the headline selection. Burmester's would be the fourth, but he's not an official tip. Who are the other two official ones?
Next best is Marcus Armitage, 28-1, keeping the faith with the pride of Salford. We know he can win at this level. He got off the mark in the European Open last summer, went all the way to the DP World Tour Championship, finished 16th. This year, out of the gates very smartly, 12th in Dubai, 9th in the Ras Classic, 17th in the Kenya Open, and then 11th last week at Pecanwood. Seems to love South African conditions. 5th in the Joburg Open in 2017. 3rd in the South African Open in 2020. 6th in the Alfred Dunhill in 2020. And those laser-like iron shots, which is his strength, be extremely effective this week at Stain City.
Jolly good. And it looks like you're going to reach for a drink there. You can do. I shall just pad for one. You've got 2 different mugs. What does that say on your mug?
That says Daddy Daycare Steve Palmer. My daughter gives me that when it's Daddy Daycare Day.
Oh, lovely. What day's that?
Fridays. Thursdays and Fridays is when I take over for a bit, yeah. But everyone's ill at the moment, so it's just no one's going to school.
Oh, no, ill again. Oh,
no one's going to school at the moment. But, we don't want to worry about that.
Are we expecting another visit from Tommy Tiger like last week or not?
No, I think he's under a tight leash this time. Yeah. That won't happen again.
That was good. I enjoyed the Nicola! Righto, no. We've got one more selection. Who is it?
It's Oliver Becker, who's becoming a bit of a sweet spot regular. Almost won the South African Open for us at the end of last year. Yeah, we have a runner-up finish to Danny Van Tonder, broke our hearts. That effort came after a brilliant Challenge Tour campaign. He secured his DP World Tour card. It's been a lifelong dream to get to this level, and he's there for good now, I think. He's shown he belongs on the main circuit. Back-to-back 9th place finishes in the 2 Ras Al Khaimah events. Final round 63 for 8th place in the Kenya Open. 4 rounds in the 60s last week for 11th spot in the My Golf Life. He's in fantastic nick, the form of his life, and he'll know that Stain City is a fantastic opportunity. He's won 7 times on the Sunshine Tour, peaking at the age of 37. And yeah, we talked about that one tournament that's been there. He teamed up with Justin Harding in that tournament and finished 9th. So 9th of 48 teams is not bad at all. A bit of course knowledge.
Have we got television coverage this week? Because obviously we didn't get to see Pecanwood, did we? But we should be all right this week.
They're
not going to give such big licks to the Valspar as they did the players, are they, on Sky?
No, I bet they regretted that move when there were so many delays.
Yeah, it would have been a nice filler for them, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I think Rupert Murdoch would have had his head in his hands when that was happening.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, absolutely. Do you enjoy Brad Faxon when they bring him in for the big events? It's funny, isn't it? Because if you look at Faxon, he's a skinny little sort of weaselly-looking character. But then when he's in the commentary box, he's got this big booming deep voice, hasn't he?
Yes, I like his immediate. He says some strange things, but yeah, I don't mind him. As I said before, I'm not going to let the commentary team. But yeah, I commentate in my head. I sort of literally commentate in my head sometimes.
You could watch that without any commentary, couldn't you? The only thing you need it for really is radar's observations, isn't it? Because if the play you've backed has smashed it into the rough, you want to know, you know, how bad it is.
I thought, yeah, radar's obviously fine. I thought Coulthart did quite well yesterday. I mean, he really put the willies up me on the 16th tee, because I don't know if you're still watching the Palace at that point, but he talked about how Smith had all his family there. They ain't seen him for 2.5 years. I didn't know that. Like, he's about to win the Players' Championship.
Yeah, and then he spots his mum and his girlfriend.
His brother, his sister, he hadn't seen for 2.5 years, and he's about to win one of the biggest tournaments in the game. And then he goes and hooks his 16th tee shot into the trees, and I'm like, oh my god, is it just hit him? Is he only just spotted them? I mean, fortunately, you know, Coulthart sort of lied a little bit there, because he had seen him like the previous week. He'd seen him.
Good.
Spent a week with him. So I was thinking, blimmin' if they come in on a surprise trip.
Because
we've seen that before, haven't we? With Lou Oosthuizen.
Yeah.
He was about to win his first PGA Tour event, and his wife had come in, and then he blew it when he spotted her. I was thinking that was a disaster. But yeah, Coulthart was in good form. He was a bit puffed out. I think that's the problem I'd have if I was a roving reporter. I'd run to find out what's happening. I wouldn't be able to speak.
Yeah, it's a fair shout. And Radar's never out of breath, is he? He's always just... No. He's a very calm character, isn't he? He's very calm. I like him.
You know, he's just become an uncle, isn't he? He's just become a granddad. Yeah, he is.
Brilliant. That's nice. Oh, one more thing we should touch on from the players. I mean, it had to happen, didn't it? Because, you know, he's the most foul-mouthed golfer of them all, isn't he, Tyrrell Hatton? He's always cursing and blaspheming, but... when he missed that short putt, he just turned around and he went, oh, for sake, at the top of his voice. Oh, my goodness me.
Yeah, he does it a lot, doesn't he? Yeah, I know. He's got temper on him, isn't he? Yeah, he started the year in a bad mood, and he stays in a bad mood. But, I mean, he seems to like being in a bad mood, doesn't he? I mean, I'm not going to
I think he's probably underneath, you know, he does lose his rag momentarily, but I think he's just letting off steam. I think he's basically probably quite a sort of cheery kind of chap, all told. But he's definitely got a temper on him, hasn't he?
Yeah, we've all got something under our skin, haven't we? That might be one for the edit.
We'll keep that in.
It's just like, I'm not Alan Partridge. I don't like radio silence. If I can't think of something to say, I'll just say something.
Sorry, Steve. I should have gone, yeah, you're right. We do. Okay, mate, that's it. Let's reiterate the tips. We've got three for the Valspar Championship, and they are?
Colin Morikawa, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Christian Bezuidenhout.
And we've got three for the Stain City Championship.
George Coetzee, Marcus Armitage, Oliver Becker.
And let's torment ourselves. If it was going to be four each, who would the extra players be?
Xander Schauffele and Dean Burmester.
Okay, fair enough. Lovely stuff. Well done, Steve. Thank you very much indeed. Good luck with them. Like I say, do let us know who you fancy in the comments. If you nail the winners, we'll give you a shout out next week. When I say we, it'll actually be Jack Reeve and you. You are about next week, aren't you, Steve?
Yeah. You're not missing a triple header. We've got a triple header next week.
Oh, have we? Oh, yeah. Okay, well, I knew we had the Dell Technologies match play, which is not an event I particularly care for. We've certainly got the Qatar Masters as well. I'm surprised they put one of the most prestigious DP World Tour events up against that, but there you go. And what else have we got?
Yeah, Qatar Masters has been in and out of the schedule for various reasons. It's back in, and they couldn't quit. You know, they had to pick they didn't get a lot of choice on the slot. Corrales Punta Cana Championship.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, each way trebles, you know, here we go again.
And that'll be one of those ones with, like, Vaughan Taylor as one of the favourites, will it?
Yeah. It'll be weak. And then the match play starts Wednesday. We might as well give people the little, you know, obviously. So,
it'll be you and Love.
Be prepared. Cub Scouts always say. Is that what they do? Be prepared.
I think it might be. Is it three? Yes, it is. Yeah. It's a long time since I was a Cub Scout. What have you got between now and then? Anything exciting in your life?
just keep everyone healthy. I mean, yeah, the golf's going really well and the family health's not going well. So it's sort of...
From COVID to what?
Yeah, I suppose weakened immune system. I don't like talking about COVID. I saw someone digging us out for talking about COVID.
So what?
I try and stay
about
positive.
What we want on this show. It's not like we banged on about it for ages, all right?
No,
we don't
that's
want
true.
To hear people spend 10 seconds talking about the fact they've had COVID. go and watch another podcast.
Yeah, you're right. That's probably the first time we ever mentioned it, actually. But yeah, I mean, I think it's like a weakened immune system, and then you get things after that. So they're both, all the ladies in my house are really struggling. That, you know, the boys are still sort of smashing things up, but yeah, the ladies are. I'm not going to. We're on a bloody roll here. Yeah, we're on a roll, and I've got the scent of 2018 in my nostrils. Yeah, we all. 2018 was the greatest ever. I'm up for it now.
Have you done anything nice with the winnings? Have you booked a nice little holiday or anything? To a Sunshine Isle, perhaps?
Portugal's on the radar massively, yeah.
Oh, good.
Portugal's one of my favourite places to relax. So, yeah, that will be happening. Not had a holiday this year, which is it's good for momentum, as you like to call it. I feel like we're building momentum. I don't want to take a holiday. I just want to continue winning.
Okay. Well, let's hope the winners do continue this week. But as we always say on the show, please do bet responsibly. Have a great Cheltenham. Good luck with the golf. Steve and Jack are back next week. Hope you can join them for another sweet spot.